rest to what it will.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for Tuesday, September 20th, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Hanford, Rasmussen, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And I received word earlier this evening that Councilmember Cutaback would be about 15 minutes late, so we'll go ahead and we'll note that in the record as she enters chambers. And Councilmember Hanford, will you please lead us in the pledge?
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is a public hearing. This is public hearing item number one on the agenda. It's AB 16119, resolution numbers 014-2016 and 015-2016, approving transfer of property to the fire district, authorize the mayor to sign ILA and purchase and sale agreement. Mr. Feilberg.
Thank you. As we brought you before, about a month ago or so, the Fire District 3 is being merged with Fire District 7, effective October 1st. And we have currently have an interlocal agreement with them regarding the use of the buildings and the fire prevention services that they provide for us. And this is an opportunity for us to update those agreements, and also new ones are needed since the agreements are not assignable to the new entity of District 7. As part of this, we talked about transferring the ownership of the real and personal assets to the fire district just to get us out of the buildings and allow them to use their property without having to consult with the city on what they can do with those sort of things. So the city attorney's office has gone through the agreements and reviewed them. The fire district's attorney has reviewed the agreements, and we've made all the amendments and corrections that both of the attorneys have made, and so we're bringing that to you tonight. Because it's a transfer of property worth more than $50,000, it is necessary for you to hold a public hearing, and following that, then you can decide what you'd like to do with the agreements that are before you. Just note, the agreements that are in the on the web right now are slightly different than the ones that were put out on Thursday. Nothing substantive, just a couple of commenting kind of changes of liability issues that the attorney for the fire district raised, and those have been reviewed by the attorney's office. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. We're going to go ahead and open up the public hearing now. Ms. Smith, do we have anybody who has signed up to speak? Thank you.
No.
Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council on this public hearing? There's nobody in the audience this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to close the citizen testament portion of the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and a second. The first being Councilmember Camp. I'm sorry, Gamble. The second one being Councilmember Camp to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. And please let the record show that Councilmember Cutaback has entered chambers. The time right now is 7:04 p.m. Councilmember Cutaback, we just received testimony regarding the public hearing. There was no testimony, and the motion on the table is to close the citizen testimony portion of the public hearing. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Council? Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the discussions we've already had on this, so I'm going to move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Hanford to close the public hearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We now have two other motions. Councilmember Gamble.
I'll move to approve resolution number 014-2016, authoring the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement for fire prevention and investigation services with the Snohomish County Fire Protection District number 7.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Cutaback, and I understand that the motion, I think there's a Scrivener's error in the motion. The motion, as I understand it, is to approve Resolution Number 014-2016, authorizing the mayor to sign an interlocal agreement for fire prevention and investigation services with the Snohomish County Fire Protection District Number 7. Does the maker of the motion and the second concur with with that being authorizing?
Instead of authoring,
yes.
Like it reads?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so that is the motion, authorizing the mayor to sign. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Move to approve Resolution Number 015-2016, declaring certain real and personal property to be surplus to the needs of the city and authorizing the mayor to sign a property transfer agreement and to effectuate the conveyance of such surplus real and personal property to the Snohomish County Fire Protection District Number 7 pursuant to this agreement.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Cutaback. The motion is to approve Resolution Number 015-2016, declaring certain real and personal property to be surplus to the needs of the city and authorizing the mayor to sign a property transfer agreement and to effectuate the conveyance of such surplus real and personal property to the Snohomish County Fire Protection District Number 7 pursuant to this agreement. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Next item on the agenda that we have this evening, and Chief Silva, did you have anything that you wanted to say? You came here for this item. Okay. Sounds good. We're going to go ahead and move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Ms. Smoot, do I understand that nobody has signed in? Okay. Any member of the public interested in coming forward to speak, please do so now. There's nobody here. So we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. We do need to ask that, actually, I'm going to pull consent agenda item number 3. This is AB 16-120, acceptance of CIP project / begin lien period for the Monroe Board and Blake Park. So that is being pulled from the consent agenda, and we will not be bringing that forward for action this evening. Is that correct? Okay. So this is pulled, and we'll bring it back on another meeting. All right. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve consent agenda items number 1, 2, and 4.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion to approve consent agenda items 1, 2, and 4. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We're now on to new business. This is new business item number 1, AB 16-122, Park Board recommendation regarding smoking and vaping in parks. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Back in May, council meeting, council requested consideration of smoking and vaping ban in city parks be referred to the Monroe Park Board for a further review and recommendation. The board reviewed information at their August 25th meeting, including the review of the 2003 city proclamation for tobacco-free parks in Monroe, and also examples from other cities ranging from administrative policies and procedures to resolutions and ordinances, and discussed options. During the board discussion, it was generally agreed that smoking in the parks has not been an issue and has not generated significant complaints. However, all agreed that the signage was in need of being refreshed and updated to cover vaping as well as tobacco smoke. The board noted a recent study provided by the Snohomish Health District indicated approximately 22% of the adult population in Monroe are smokers. The board favored an administrative policy to discourage smoking and vaping in the parks, with enforcement through voluntary compliance, signage, and awareness education similar to the City of Perrin example, which is attachment 2. So the Park Board made a motion to and passed to recommend to city staff, the mayor, and the city council to adopt an administrative policy of no smoking or vaping in the rest of the parks. It was also consensus of the board to support refreshing the signage regarding this no smoking vaping in the parks. Regarding the budget impact, I estimate that the cost for the new signs for parks would be $1,000, and the park signs currently are in need of being replaced, because they are worn, so that's going to be included in the proposed 2017 budget funding in that amount to cover the replacement signage. So the requested action by staff is to move to direct staff to draft an administrative policy of no smoking vaping in city parks and set aside $1,000 in general fund parks to purchase new signage regarding no smoking vaping in the parks.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Rasmussen.
I think Councilmember Hanford had his light on first.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, I want to say I appreciate the work done by the Parks Board and staff, Mike. Appreciate that. I'm going to move to direct staff to draft an administrative policy of no smoking or vaping in Monroe City Parks and set aside $1,000 in general fund parks to purchase new signage regarding no smoking vaping in the parks.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford and a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you.
Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mike, thank you to you and your board for looking into this and taking the time with this and putting all this together. So, I really appreciate this as an avid park user, and you know, it'll be nice to see those signs at the very least being refreshed. So.
Thank you. Sorry. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. I echo that. And Mike, just a couple questions. the policy and procedure that the Burien example, there wasn't anything in there in vaping, but it was 2011, so ours will.
Yes.
Okay.
That was the recommendation board.
Okay.
So draft something, work with our city attorney.
Okay.
Bring forth the draft.
Okay, perfect. And then, it being an administrative policy, are there any fines or penalties or anything that we're going to attach to that?
No. The enforcement will be through voluntary compliance and signage and awareness education, so that would be the extent of
right. So if a person in the park sees someone smoking and their signs up are vaping and they go over and say, you know, hey, look at the signs, buddy, no vaping or smoking, and the person refuses to put it out, what's the next step for that person, for the person who tries to encourage compliance?
Yeah, there was a discussion about that, and you know, while that is a possibility, the consensus of the board was that in most cases there wouldn't really be an issue. People would either move to a different part of the park or leave, return. If it brought to people's attention, a lot of times they comply and move away. So, but I guess in that case, it really depends on how it escalates, I suppose.
Yeah.
If any further, if any enforcement needs to be brought forward.
Okay. Good. Thanks for bringing it. So I support this. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay. Mike, Ms. Farrell, thank you for taking this forward, and please, on behalf of the council and also for me, please thank them for considering the request and for the recommendation. We're going to go ahead and vote. The motion, again, is to direct staff to draft an administrative policy of no smoking or vaping in Monroe City Parks and set aside $1,000 in the general fund parks to purchase new signage regarding no smoking and vaping in the parks. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. We're going to go ahead and move on to new business item number 2. This is AB 16-123, discussion, parks and recreation events, portable stage proposal. Mr. Farrell.
Again, thank you. In the search and background, GF 40 cover sheet, the budgeted 2016 Park CIP project to design and construct improvements to Lake Tide Building to function more as a clamshell for performances and reconfigure the direction of the concessions has not gotten underway yet due to staff busy working on the projects. In the meantime, Mayor Thomas introduced exploring the option of purchasing a mobile stage similar to what some other entities utilize. City of Duval, City of Bainbridge, and also Spokane, and I believe there's others. I haven't really researched how many entities utilize mobile stages. Benefits include being able to move it from location to location within the park and within other parks and even the downtown. There are some issues with constructing and improvements to the building. There are difficult to remedy regarding musical performance due to it facing west or the setting sun. Learned that that causes sound distortion issues, including putting stringed instruments out of tune. And feedback from performers not being happy facing the sun, such as Shakespeare in the Park, which used to perform there, and also from several bands. So we've begun researching a mobile stage option and contacted the company, and it's in the attachment there, Wenger, for information on their showmobile. Also did meet with the City of Duval's events coordinator and visited their mobile stage unit. And I noted that it's been in operation for 50 years. The City of Seattle owned it for 40 years, and then now I guess Duval has had it for 10 years. So it's an early version, but it really does speak to the durability. And kind of some of the research I've looked at is, there's ones from the 70s, from the 80s, the 90s that are being bought, sold, and utilized and whatnot. So they are currently looking into a replacement for their stage, so it does have a long lifespan, it appears. Benefits of purchasing that type of a mobile stage include its portability and acoustics. It has a hydraulic stage leveling feature. You can see it in the attachment. And options including in the roof for weather and shade, and options including sound, lighting, stage extensions, skirting hydraulic lift for stage equipment, and also for ADA access for performers. Definitely its versatility for multiple locations and configurations opens up possibilities for uses at other events. Mm-hmm. Listed, such as Egg Hunt or Night Out Against Crime, Fair Days Parade, Flight of Monroe. And also additional uses such as groundbreaking ribbon cutting ceremonies and just a wide variety of performances, rock bands, singers, choirs, orchestras, actors like Shakespeare, MC DJ, and dancing performers. And another benefit is the rented use of the stage through establishment of fees and interlocal agreements could also be explored that would generate additional revenue. And I did find an example, and I'm sure I could find some more examples of an entities that do such a thing. So I did share the option of a mobile stage with the Monroe Park Board at their August meeting to get their feedback, and they passed the unanimous action to recommend to the council to consider the purchase of a showmobile type mobile stage with a hydraulic lift in lieu of constructing the band shell type improvements in the building in Lakeside Park. I've also solicited feedback from the Monroe Arts Council and the Monroe Concert Band and Lastly Productions that do Shakespeare in the area, and they all favor pursuing that option. So we determined that purchase of a portable stage would qualify for use of REIT funding, and that the park plan CIP listing of a band shell or stage area project at Lake Tide meets the criteria for it to be considered a park's capital project. The estimated budget for purchasing a mobile stage is $150,000. I just got a quote from them, so I listed the stage plus all those options I described, just getting them all, and whether we choose all the options, and they came out to just about $150,000, and then it would be plus tax. So it would probably be about $165,000, so probably $170,000, and then it would be to get stage and probably get a shelter for it or have cover for storage just to again for long term protection of it. About $70,000, less than the total budget for the Lake Tide building improvements band shell concessions project that exists. So if that were to be implemented, the unspent funds could be reprioritized toward other projects in the park plan, or toward a new project. So in budgets, we said so 170 estimated cost of that type of a mobile unit with lighting, sound, hydraulic stage, electric extensions, and skirts and accessories. And then time constraints. Sorry, I didn't mean to wander here. If we were to go with that option, is that purchase and delivery of a stage trailer, we'd be able to receive that in time for this schedule of the start of events in the 2017 season. Usually, it's the icon to split and kicks it off. So we could possibly do it this year or next year.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. Let's go ahead and go through the questions. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. So, Mike, is there a time limit to this purchase, or is this something that can be extended out?
So the idea would be that we could theoretically purchase it this year, this CIP budget, or it could be something that could be scheduled or brought forward for 2017 or beyond.
Okay. And the reason, if I may, the reason for that is that the $250,000 is already appropriate in the current year's budget, which is why they could do it in this year's budget if that's what council would like to do.
First off, I want to say thank you to you and the park for working on this and coming up with this idea. As I was reading this, I was thinking about the changes we've got at Lake Tai, and right now we don't have a wakeboard park. That is gone. So the whole dynamic of the park is going to change. I was thinking that I would like to see more permanent structures, more permanent fixtures to make it a focal. So if we had a little bit of time and could have the park board do a quick review of what our options are at Lake Tai and what things we'd like to see, perhaps potentially in the future before we spend $150,000. I'm not really against the idea of the portable unit, and I can see usefulness for it. Some people I've spoken with we compared it to the Leavenworth bandstand, and having a performance shell there or something might bring a little bit more permanence to Lake Tai, make it more, like I said, more of a focal. Just a thought, if we have the time, I think it might be wise just to see if somebody can come up with some ideas that we'd like to have there. And with that, I'll be interested in opinions or ideas from other council members.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. First of all, I love this idea. I love, because I've seen so many, I've been at so many concerts and different things where that you can tell their person is just blinded by the sun and they can't see what's going on. So I think it's a great idea as far as being able to move it. A couple minute details, like, Mike, where would you envision, like, placement of this trailer for movies or the theater in the park? Where are you?
Yeah, at Lake Tai, I can see it being placed both directly south of the lake, just south of the east-west path, if that makes any sense. So basically, if you were facing the building, mm-hmm. The movies and music and whatnot, just turn to your left, it would be there. Or it could also be at the other end, where the fence to the soccer field is,
sure.
Across the ball field, in that direction as well. And that reminds me, it's with some of the feedback as well, with the being in the fix with the building, as far as the actual building. Some feedback heard was that, the Shakespeare, for example, you hear that the squeaking of the swings, and you can't get people to stop using the swings, and as far as that kind of stuff, is that permanent or mobile I think location is really important as far as like sighting it and thinking about, you know, not just the sun that's a major, but also sound and what sort of other activities and setups do you have, like for, let's say for example, you may have food vendors, you may have, you know, mobile vendor and where our restaurant's located. So you'd want to look at, you're not going to find the perfect scenario with a permanent structure, but you obviously want to find the most ideal spot for something like that. So.
Okay. And then, thank you for the idea of the placement. I was just curious what your thoughts were there. Were there other bids obtained, or is there only like one manufacturer of this?
There's two different ones. There's this one, and then there's another unit, and it's a mold, and you can see through it, and so you erect four whatever columns or whatever you want to call them, posts, and then you erect the structure. So there's a lot more work involved and labor to put something like that together. And something like this is a quick, much quicker than set up, take down, use it in, you know, different locations. That's kind of the feedback that I've gotten with so far with research and talking to, you know.
And you just use like a parks truck to pull it over, and yeah. Looking at the last page of pictures before it goes into the parks tour report, there's a picture at the bottom right with, looks like a band of singers that are singing, and the stage is larger. To me, it looks larger than all the other pictures. It looks like they've added on or something.
Extensions.
Is that the extensions that's in the bid?
Yeah. So
that could, that's cool. It could be pretty large.
Yeah, you could make it up for an orchestra. That was one of the things the Monroe Concert Band and their feedback was about, you know, depending on how large of a stage area you have, it depends on what sort of, you know, orchestra band.
But, yeah. So,
and also performers like, say, Shakespeare, that sort of thing.
Okay. I love that idea. I kind of agree with Councilor McCamp as far as, you know, what are our other options? I'm like ready to sign the check, but I am curious to know what our other options are since we're not in a time crunch. Although it would be nice to have this so that when Councilor Gamble and I sing at the Light at Monroe,
ooh,
we've had stage to play and sing on.
Oh, okay.
You remember you agreed to that.
You need a deep sea diver.
Change my vote to no.
Yeah. So, but I'm curious to know, to have some other looks at that and see what our options are with everything kind of spread out the way it is with the restrooms and the concessions at one area, if we were to as a city rent out canoes, or if we were to sublet that out and kayaks, if that would be done out of that building, or we'd have to build another building like right on the water. And if that's the case, I don't think that building a stage near that's feasible. So
the yield, just
curious.
Mike, I'm curious. So, are the is the playground equipment, is it nearing its end of operational life?
Yes.
So, we're looking at a possible replacement of that. So, in terms of noise from kids playing or something, we may want to reconsider moving that. The restrooms are probably going to stay there. Putting some sort of a structure, or, you know, if we go with a portable unit on the west side by the road, and then, you know, everybody else gets to stare into the sun for the performers instead of the performers staring into the sun, that kind of thing. It just sounds like there's possibilities of rearranging the whole area and maximizing both the attractiveness and usefulness, and since we're going in a different direction than having it as a, you know, regional attraction, to more of a city-oriented or local attraction for people who want to use it during the day, or use it, well, during the summer, one of the best months. So, that's what I'm thinking. And we do have, like I said, I was curious about the operational time for the the playground equipment, if we're going to have to change that, that's going to be a significant impact as well. We want, and if we've got a great skateboard park there, we probably want to have a great playground as well. So we're just, you know, peeking and taking Lake Stevens and Snohomish by storm.
Yes, thank you. If I could give a little just feedback, response is the regarding the playground and replacement. The park, you know, was designed as far as laid out with the parking lot, you know, where it is and the playground, you know, and accessibility and whatnot. So I think if we were going to look at moving, you know, portions of, you know, existing developed areas of the park, that I would suggest, and it is in the park plan, it hasn't ranked as a project high enough to, you know, be something we'd be looking at now, we could bump that up,
right.
is looking at master planning the entire park, you know, and
you'd
be looking at, you know, some of the things that were mentioned about the beach area and things like that.
And that might maybe further out, but I'm just thinking in terms of the interim. This might be a good interim step, but I'm not sure, but if the park board can take a little bit of time and review it and see if there are other options or what we're going to, if we're expecting something to, you know, some major change in the next 5 years, we can take that into account as well. I don't want to beat this to death or study it to death.
We keep saying the park board review. I know I'm totally jumping in, but the park board already reviewed and unanimously approved.
This?
Yes.
Right.
So that's the only thing I want to make sure.
Well, I was just wondering if the park board can go back and look at the options that they have for changes in the park. And incorporate the band shell or something like that.
So Councilmember Hanford still has the floor. Just a couple of things. First, we are looking at the budget for next year. Mike, how much is in the budget for the Lake Tai Park? Isn't the playground equipment for Lake Tai in the budget proposal currently?
Yes.
So we're looking at replacing the playground equipment next year.
Yes.
And do we have a master plan for the park today?
No.
Okay. Okay. And then we were talking about the Sky River Park being having the playground equipment in that being replaced in 2018. Right. So, you know, just letting you know that there are things that we're working on, and in fact, we're reviewing the budget right now. And if there's a desire to have a change in direction, then that's something that will be valuable to know over the next month or so. The budget proposal will come forward, though, with replacement of the Lake Tai playground equipment. But if there's a change in direction, we can certainly put those resources to the Sky River Park instead, and just flop the two. You know, I'm just thinking out loud. All right, Councilman Hanford, you still have the floor. Anything further?
Yeah. So I'm ready to go with this, but I do think it behooves us to really look at the entire thing. So if that means doing a master plan, then I would agree with you that it'd be worth looking at before we spend the money on this, if that's something that can be done in the next, I don't know how long a master plan takes. Is that a couple months or several months?
It would take several months.
So besides,
we would likely hire a consultant to assist us with that.
Okay. Well, I'll let other councils chime in.
Thank you. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mike, again, to Union Parks for it. Awesome. I love this. And I know this has come up before. I mean, we were speaking about it when I was on the Parks Board and had discussions about this. And you know, with something like this, I actually see this as not just a Lake Tai thing, but, you know, this is something that can be used as an attraction for all of our parks and bring attention to all of our parks. And so, you know, while we discuss improvements of Lake Tai, which I think we still continue those conversations, this is something that,
you know, I think benefits all of our parks and beyond our parks. You know, as I mentioned in here, Light at Monroe, Faraday's Parade. I mean, think of what our revitalized downtown would look like with a big band shell stage that we can have out there for a day, and then pack up and everything goes back to normal. And so that's really where what I'm seeing in this and the big value to it. I don't disagree that, you know, the improvements and the further discussions and considerations to Lake Tyne and the rest of our parks of finding something a little more permanent. I definitely think we continue that. But I think this is a fantastic addition to our city to utilize, and you know, depends the discussion of allowing other organizations, entities to use it for, I guess, essentially renting it out or leasing it out. I mean, depends on what that looks like. I mean, of course, that helps essentially offset some of those costs. I mean, it's not going to pay it off within 5 years, I would imagine, but to me that helps, and the efficiency of being able to set it up. I mean, from what I'm seeing in the pictures, Mike, and from what I'm hearing, it's a pretty simple setup. That's what it looks like, correct? So it's not going to take
simple.
Well, I mean,
but yeah.
I mean,
what it turns into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like Transformers.
Yeah.
And who doesn't like Transformers?
Right. So. Doesn't look like a, you know, Camaro, right. But, you know.
It's more than meets the eye.
Yeah, I'm supportive of this. I like it. I'm glad it's finally coming up. But, I'll support enough that I'll go ahead and make a motion to direct staff to purchase a portable stage trailer. Utilization of the 2016 Park CIP budget in lieu of design construction of a small clamshell Lake Tyne building.
Second.
Thank you. So there's a motion to direct staff to purchase a portable stage trailer through utilization of the 2016 Park CIP budget in lieu of design construction of a clamshell at Lake Tyne building. And the first was from Councilmember Rasmussen. Second was from Councilmember Gamble. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Gamble, you're up.
Yeah, I love this concept as well. There are a few questions I did have, though, because I'm not viewing the purchase of this as stopping anything that we're talking about from a review of, that you're asking for or anything like that. I mean, that I don't see them as the same. I see them as two separate, and I see this as a great idea. The piece I would ask, so you said that, I mean, we already have budgeted next year for the Lake Tyne building, correct? Is that what I'm hearing? In this year's.
We were to spend it if we wanted to continue with as it's proposed and currently.
Mm-hmm.
We would push it to the next year. I would recommend doing that. So.
Right, but if that is something that we're already, and right now it entails just a redesign of that facility, the bathroom. I guess just remind me a little bit on that.
Yeah, so the extending the roof. The building extending in front of where the slope is, so adding more left like stage area.
Mm-hmm.
and also improving the drainage there and creating tiered steps down. The right, currently there's a grass slope down to the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also includes redirecting. So the focal concession point is facing northward toward the lake. Mm-hmm. Right now, the big roll up is facing west.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a smaller, converted double doors that where it points north, but isn't really visible.
And the total cost was what again? It was two.
For design and construction, we put in a budget of $240,000.
$240,000.
We got an estimate in 2014, so dollars originally, and it was $180,000.
But a large portion of that was to accommodate the stage type.
Yeah, the majority of it.
Okay.
Was for the enhancements for performances. Yes.
Okay, so that. You know, just in my way of thinking, when you look, I mean, close to $100,000 off of the total amount. You're talking, you had made the statement that you could put that, you know, back in and use it, you know, for whatever, which could be a redesign that just of the building so that it, you get that components. Or to Councilmember Camp's point, if we wanted to look at that building, you know, that sort of, I'm not big proponent of a fixed stage, unless you're going to go all out, and you create an amphitheater or whatever the case may be. I like this idea because we do have so many beautiful parks. There's so many different events that we have. There's, you know, of course, you brought up, or someone mentioned, the revenue potential generation, and you've got the school district, and you got a lot of different entities that, you know, I'm thinking of some of the clubs that we have, from the Little League and different things where they have events where, hey, this would be cool if they had a stage they can rent, where right now we're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul to come up with a sound system. Mm-hmm. And all that kind of stuff, and if that was a package solution that you could rent from the city, that's, you know, in my opinion, is pretty attractive, and that would be extremely nice. So yeah, I don't really see. I think we can do both at the same time, and we've already kind of planned. It's already been to the Parks Board. Parks Board is bringing it to us with a full recommendation, unanimously approving. I agree with Councilmember Camp. We need to do exactly what you're talking about, but I don't see it impacting our decision on doing this, so that's why I made the second. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the portable makes sense because of the other uses we can have it. I would love to see something downtown. I can imagine closing off, you know, a portion of downtown and having an event down there with a stage. And I too look at it like it's not just for Lakeside, it's our community and all the other things. The one question I had, because I also agree that having a master plan, and possibly I'm not against having a permanent structure down there, depending on what that looks like, and providing a focal point down there. So I hear your point. I too don't think we have to do one or the other. So I guess my question is about the motion, though, because it says in lieu of design construction of a clamshell at Lake Tai. So if we do this mobile unit now for 2016, does it restrict us in the future if we have the motion like this of designing or constructing something at Lake Tide? Because I still always want to have that option open, because I could foresee that 3 to 5 years from now, or after we do a master plan, that we might want to design still a clamshell down there, because the portable use can be used throughout our community. So I just don't want it to be said in the motion that it is in lieu of that.
It's in lieu of putting up the clamshell. It's in lieu of doing the clamshell. In talking to staff, we could still put the concession, we could still put the
right
work for the concession building in there. There isn't anything that would preclude them coming back in 2 or 3 years and deciding that they want to still do a clamshell, correct?
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure, is that this motion didn't, you know, restrict us down the road.
Right.
Because I don't want it to be in lieu of the design construction of a clamshell. I just want the mobile, portable stage trailer to be, because it's for our community versus just Lake Tai.
Yeah.
Councilmember Gamble was just pointing out to me that, yeah, this is for the 2016 Park CIP budget. So
right. It
doesn't, it only applies to this year.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't apply to like a future CIP budget.
Okay. Then I'm in favor of moving forward now, but also continuing to look at and possibly doing a master plan and looking at making Lake Tai improvements, focal improvements. But I think this is a great idea for moving forward.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I think it's all been discussed, and I agree with what Patrick said. I agree with the thought of the mobile. I also agree with Councilman Camp about doing a master plan and looking for something of permanence at Lake Tai, like an amphitheater that is something bigger. Now, the question might become, if you had the portable, would you even pursue an amphitheater? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Because that would be something that you would probably have more more looked at by the school district for graduation or something like that, as instead of this portable thing. Mm-hmm. So I think the amphitheaters or something like that, mm-hmm. something with permanent that's out there is a good idea to look at for the future. As long as it's taken, what I understand is there's over enough money budgeted for the state repair that we're going to take and buy this thing, and that doesn't leave very much money left for a permanent project, but we could allocate more money to the permanent project in out years. Am I correct in seeing it that way?
Okay. Anything further? Okay, Councilmember Davis.
I pretty much echo what everybody said. I think this is a great idea. And it's really great because we can do it now, and then we can look at other things down the road. So I'm in favor of it.
Thank you. I introduced the idea of doing this. I heard that other jurisdictions had done this, and going down and looking at what other jurisdictions are doing, I think that this gives us exactly what the council members have stated up here. It gives us a lot of flexibility. We can do things in the downtown. We can do things not just at Lake Tai, but also at Sky River Park. When I was out doorbelling folks a couple years ago, you know, there were people that wanted to see things in their neighborhood too. This allows us to move this stage into other neighborhoods and other areas of town, the downtown and whatnot, and do events in other locations also. So I think that that's something that I really appreciate with this. You can team it up with a farmer's market and all sorts of things. Staff has indicated that for us to do something maybe with a school district or other organizations, we might be looking at an interlocal agreement and at least getting compensated for staff time and setting up things or using it as part of a partnership if we're partnering on an event. I do appreciate the motion. I think this will be positive for our community, and I guess with that, we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda. This is final action number 1, AB 16124, ordinance number 014, 2016, Bear Mountain Estates, final plat, planned residential development, FPLPRD 2016-03, first and final reading. Ms. Kyle.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Christy Kyle, senior planner, City of Monroe. Tonight I have before you Bear Mountain Estates Phase 1 Final Plat and Planned Residential Development. The applicant for the Bear Mountain Plat has applied for final plat approval of Phase 1 in accordance with the Monroe Municipal Code Chapter 1728 entitled Final Plat. The Bear Mountain Estates preliminary plat was approved by the Monroe City Council on April 7, 2015 by Resolution Number 007-2015. The approved Bear Mountain Estates preliminary plat consists of 73 single-family lots, which will be constructed in two phases. Tonight, we only have phase one before you. Phase one is 58 single-family lots. Phase two consists of 15 single-family lots, and it's located in the vicinity of 13025 Roosevelt Road. The Bear Mountain Estates final plat PRD application has been reviewed by all relevant city staff departments. The applicant has completed and or submitted appropriate financial guarantees for all required improvements and all necessary pursuant to the Monroe Municipal Code. Based on staff's review, the final plat PRD application for Bear Mountain Estates Phase 1 conforms to the approved preliminary plat PRD in the Monroe Municipal Code. Also, on September 13, 2016, City Council passed a motion amending the Council Rules of Procedure to allow for ordinances accepting final plats to be adopted upon first and final reading. So tonight, staff requests that the City Council move to adopt Ordinance Number 014-2016, approving the final plat planned residential development for the Bear Mountain Estates Subdivision Phase 1. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. No questions, but I'll move to adopt Ordinance Number 014-2016, approving the final plat plan residential development for the Bear Mountain Estates Subdivision Phase 1, FPLPRD-2016-03. Setting forth supportive findings, providing for severability, and fixing a time when the same shall be complemented.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a first from Councilmember Camp, and a second from Councilmember Davis. Okay. Any, sorry, I heard a second, and I didn't get where it was from. Okay, any discussion on the motion? All right, Councilmember Scarborough.
Will somebody please help me orient this map? South Roosevelt past the big house, if you will.
Yes, it's due west and adjacent to the foothills. It's due west and adjacent to the foothills. On one side it has Roosevelt, on the other side it's the foothills. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right, any other discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item on the agenda, customer reports. We'll go ahead and head down the line since we don't have any committee reports this evening. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, enjoyed the small city's dinner last Thursday over at the gym. Was it Jim Green's? What's the name of the car museum?
Jim Green's, yeah.
I have not been there. I had not been there yet. That was awesome. I was FaceTiming my dad from inside, and he was just all excited, so he couldn't wait to go down and check it out. But always good to network with folks, and having a lot more folks from the Granite Falls area, you know, some of the more outlying areas where it's a lot harder to get to when we go to Mill Creek and all that kind of stuff. Enjoyed the topic. While we're not in the taxing district on the, you know, the ST3, obviously, in my opinion, there's huge benefits to us if that goes through. Already is with SD2, with it being completed into Linwood, there's a lot of folks I know that are looking forward to that as having an option to driving and then commuting down from there. So it was great, and Chef Adam absolutely outdid himself a kid. The pulled pork and the meal was fantastic, and I sat with some folks from Granite Falls, and they were booking their date nights to come back to Monroe to go check out Chef Adam, because I told them, I said, you need to do it, you don't need to go all the way downtown, you can come right here into Monroe for a good date night. So they were making their reservations, so that was great. Let's see, last Wednesday, so before that, I felt like I cut a fat hog because we had Chef Adam on Thursday. The night before, Monroe Public School Foundation, we had our kickoff kind of retreat, two different days for a retreat where we kind of were talking strategic plan, election of officers, that type of stuff, and we had it at the Dash and Dutchman. So we had Dutch on Wednesday, and then we had Adam the following day, so and then I rolled home. it was just a great week of food, and then also progress. It was really pleased to announce on the public foundation side of things, which was really cool to see, is the board just approved after about, for those that don't know, the last 4 or 5 years they've been working to get technology centers, with laptops at home, cows that were mobile for all of the elementary schools in the district, and plan was finally completed. We got the last one purchased and in, and so the board really wanted to move into a new initiative and focus for the next 3 to 5 years, and they have chose the performing arts and linking it to scholarships, and that's ready. So there's going to be a kind of a splash with a $15,000 grant provided to the drama department at the high school for all new microphones, all new wireless over-the-ear, state-of-the-art microphones, so that we can actually hear the kids, and they can record the event, so they can actually have it on for video and that sort of thing. So just a really neat launch. And I actually met today with Ryan Hyde and see them in the drama department to let them know that they had that's what we were going to do. But then the other component of it is setting aside another additional $5,000 for starting kind of a consortium between the high school, the middle schools, and the elementary schools to develop both the band, the choir, and the drama departments to see, hey, what do we need at the lower levels to feed the high school? So kind of an exciting little initiative that the Public School Foundation is taking on. Should be really neat to see how it comes to fruition, and hopefully you all go out. They will be purchased in time for the high school's production of Clue, which they're casting right now. It'll be in the fall, so we'll be waiting to see. That's it.
Very cool.
And then football.
Football. Yes. The precursor to lacrosse.
Yeah, and we're out at Lake Tye. We've never done football at Lake Tye. It really, it's great. We have the lights out there, Mike, and it's going great. So we can have lights on Lake Tye, and people don't freak out yet, or.
So,
any comments?
Thanks for bringing that up.
The council note too that we considered a request, to put some portable lights for the practices, which end by 8 p.m.
Uh-huh.
They had been practicing on a school site, I believe it was behind the Wagner School or Sky Valley Education Center in the past, and due to the construction park place, there's just like a whole like kind of pecking order of things, and they were kind of out in the dark, literally. So we did grant a conditions to using those, and this worked out nice, and we're happy to accommodate them.
Great, and I think it just even more illustrates as we talk about Lake Tye, and we have it on our agenda with legislature, and as we look to reallocate different monies towards projects that could make a huge difference in the community, and looking for matching funds from the state, that as we look to Lake Tye for, because it's not just a baseball field out there, there's also that multi-purpose field that could be used for soccer, football, all of
lacrosse.
Well, I guess maybe we might permit that. but yeah, I mean, it was just, I think it just even shows that more fortunately the rain didn't kill us too much enough. But anyway, looks great. That's it.
Thank you.
It's a second shot. So that's it. Are you sure?
Customer Camp.
You know what? Actually,
Customer Camp.
Okay, it sounds like Lake Tye. I want to add something to a future agenda. If we can have staff look into this a little bit, since we will not have a wakeboard park, bioswales and cleaning up the water of the lake.
Mm.
I think it's going to become. It is important. And I think with the high amount of usage we have there, we really need to work on something with water quality so we can add that to a future discussion in the future. Get a little information on how much it costs, et cetera. Okay, that's the serious part. I agree with the meeting. The SCT last week was incredible fun. Jim Green's is an incredible spot. It was really interesting to see somebody there that I wouldn't picture at an auto show. But that's okay. You.
Me?
Yeah.
Why not me?
Why not?
You don't know where I've been.
Well, first off, I'm going to agree with that statement. Second, I remember your car from the parade a few years ago. But anyway, I had to get that thing. Beyond that, attended a friendly little football game last Saturday. I'm sure there are going to be other people who are going to talk about that, so I won't say much. I also attended the model boat races at Lake Tye. Again, this is a Lake Tye night. And it was really exciting. And those things just scream around that lake. Other than that, looking forward to some of the changes that we've been talking about. And that's it for me.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Yeah, I was really sorry to miss the dinner. I had been looking forward to that. I had made arrangements, and they fell through at the last minute, so I ended up on duty. So sorry about that, and maybe next time they have it there.
Yes. And they are open, I think, on the weekends, so
yeah.
You can always go down and
it's
really nice. You've been there?
I haven't. I've wanted to go over there, and I saw this as a perfect opportunity. And I thought,
just,
not only that, but barbecue.
Yeah, just head down on the weekend. It's really wonderful.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, great. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah. Echo everything about the Snohomish County Cities. It was great. It's kind of one of those gems that you never know of until you walk in. And actually, when I walked in, I kind of felt I wasn't in the right spot. So, it was really cool. Lots of pictures and just a fun evening. I mean, just having those types of events in here in Monroe is always cool anyway, but to showcase something like that and, a local restaurant and, it was just a lot of fun. So, Football season officially started on Saturday. Awesome game. I won't steal Chiefs thunder over there, but it was really cool that despite the weather, seeing everyone come out and the players play the way they did and no serious injuries, at least that have been reported to me yet, but it was just a ton of fun out there and very, very successful. So And then today, actually, I was invited by a friend to attend the Monroe Homeless Response Group meeting, and I guess it's every month at the library, but first time being there, and certainly wasn't what was on the agenda, but there's a group of community members that are concerned about the stuff that's going on in the neighborhood with drugs and homelessness, and they were there to have the discussions, and it ended up that some officers from the sheriff's department came and kind of, I guess, took over the agenda and spoke on the program that they're doing at the county level, where three dedicated officers are, their sole purpose is to go out to the homeless encampments and work with the individuals and those that want help, team them up with one or two social workers and actually take them step by step through the process to treatment. And they were citing some of the statistics that they've had in just the year that they've been running this program, and it's pretty substantial. So I'm very interested in hearing more about this program and looking into it. But it was a great discussion, and I walked out of there feeling, like there's hope. There's something out there that could work. So. But that's it.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thoughts, ditto, pretty much everything that was said about Adams and Ruby Greens and everything else.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback.
Nothing to add.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
And one thing about being at the end of the line.
I know.
There's nothing to add. I'd like to know his affinity for the B-17s. I'd like to hear that. He has that whole motif is B-17s, and there's a big story behind him. I wonder what his is, being his age and whatnot.
Well, so we'll make certain that staff, Pam Baker, the executive assistant that we had back there, was the one that took me to that facility. And when I walked up to it initially, I thought, we're doing what, where? And walked in there, and I was, like you said, it is a gem that you simply don't expect when you're driving around the industrial park. And she did a good job taking me there, showing it to me, and planning through everything to make that work. So, you all know that we've got great staff here. That's just one of many things that happens that we get to be part of, and she did a great job picking that site.
So.
Exactly. All right, so let's hop out to staff. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. One of the things you have is an attachment to your requested information about the Evergreen State Fair. So we've got this neat 6-year look back from the Evergreen State Fair. It breaks it down each day, and it also has the weather. And one thing that kind of jumped out at me is on the third day, the Saturday, that's the Fair Day's parade day, and it had been averaging, a little over 30,000, and then last year it had dipped. And of course it was weather, but it's good to see that that's back, because the parade is, it supports the fair. That's what we do. It kind of connects us to the fairgrounds. So anyways, that's really interesting stuff. And on a related note, I just want to share with you, it's in those draft park board minutes that was attachments to a couple of the items I brought up tonight, is the Monroe Park Board they decided that they'd like to have a representative for the park board attend as an attendee, not a board member, but to the Fair Advisory Board. So, and that's just the Fair Advisory Board, my understanding is that they discuss the fair, the 12-day fair, so not the fairgrounds and other events that go on. I think it's a good thing that Mayor Thomas brought it up, and the board, they were very supportive of that, so they're going to send, like I said, a representative to attend those meetings. So if anything comes up regarding the fair, they feel that staff, mayor, and council need to be aware of, and they can bring that forward and pass it on to you.
And just to let you know a little bit of history on that, I used to attend the meeting on a regular basis in my other capacity, and when I was elected to this position, I wasn't able to do that anymore because they're on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And so none of us can attend. I had actually received comments from one of the Fair Advisory Board members who owns a business here in town about, you might ride in these cars every once in a while, about how they had hoped that there'd be a little bit closer relationship, especially with me being in this position. And, I simply made the observation that there's a bit of a conflict with these meetings occurring the same night. So while we do meet with the staff there on a fairly frequent basis, having somebody from the Parks Advisory Board act as a liaison for the city seemed like a good fit. And so we're hopeful that they'll be able to follow through on that. And I had recommended that somebody serve as a liaison for 1 year and then hand the baton off to somebody else next year. The reason being is planning for the 12-day fair, there are a lot of things that are similar from year to year. So once you get in a year's worth of meetings, you kind of get an idea of how the next year's worth of meetings are going to go. And in the meantime, it's a good way to have people that are volunteering here, if they feel that that's a passion for them, to then consider volunteering at the county level, like a Fair Advisory Board member in the future, or Parks Advisory Board at the county level. And it's just a good way for folks in Monroe to represent Monroe at other levels. So anyway, anything else, Mr. Sherman?
I enjoy those monologue races as well. Really neat to see out there. You don't really realize they've really been into that, the scale and the detail. But then coming up, October 8th, Saturday, is a couple weeks away, is the Harvest Festival event at Lake Tai Park from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Thank you. Any questions for Councilmember Kettebeck?
Mike, was there at the fair, I don't know if you know this, but was there a basketball 3-on-3 tournament this year? Do you know if that went? I heard there were planning of that, and I didn't know how well it did or went. Okay, because I know we stopped doing the 3-on-3 here in town, which when it was downtown, it was pretty successful. Moved it to Lake Tai, kind of petered out, and then they were trying to take on and put it on during the fair.
I can't say I have any feedback on that, but I'll look into that.
Okay, I was just curious because I know
they did have it. Several of the boys my son's age that participated. And
if you have any info on that, Mike, it would just because it kind of replaced what we did downtown. That was the intent, was to do it there. So thank you.
You know, the basketball, the 3-on-3 basketball, if that's what you're referencing, that was one of the reasons why we pulled out the curbs in the downtown so that we can do those sorts of events again in the future. So if that's something council's interested in doing, we can certainly talk about doing that next year or partnering with the Chamber of the Downtown Association. Yeah. All right, any other questions for Mr. Farrell? Mike? Can you thank the county, thank probably Hal Gossman for this information?
Sure.
This is really early to get this kind of information, and it's really useful. I really like the icon showing what the weather was like, too. That,
nice touch.
That's a very nice touch.
It matters.
And Councilmember Cutback, thank you very much for requesting it. My experience is I usually don't see this sort of information until October, so I'm happy they were able to do this. Thank you.
Well, it's because I was kind of sweet-talking him in my opinion.
Okay. You'll let me know what we committed to later.
It works.
Thank you. Mr. Osaki.
Just a couple of quick items. One, thank you for approving the Bear Mountain Estates final plat. But as one plat kind of works its way into actual lot creation, today we received a plat application for 106 lot plat, 106. And it's at the north city limits, just west of 191st Avenue. immediately abutting to the East Condo Hill subdivision.
Oh.
So we'll be working on that over the course of the next several months. And then just very quickly, as you recall, back in May, the City Council passed an ordinance that affirmed the City Council's understanding that the East Monroe properties would be zoned limited open space during the compliance remand period. That was a six-month interim zoning ordinance. It expires November 3rd. And so in 2 weeks, October 4th, we're going to have a public hearing on the extension of that particular ordinance. I just wanted to make sure the council is aware of that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Osaki? Okay. And those 106 units were in the roughly 850 in the pipeline because they had already been in a pre-app state. Is
right.
that correct?
We were expecting the application, and so it's about 1/8 of those 800 in the pipeline.
Okay. And you gave a presentation. I wasn't able to for Snohomish County Cities. You went to the business symposium. How'd the presentation with the business symposium go?
The presentation went. I thought it went fine. Feedback was fine. I shared the presentation with some individuals, and I really enjoyed. There were some great presentations, and there was some a much broader presentation about the health of Snohomish County and the economy. That was very, very good. Things are very, very good right now, but it's one of those you just don't know what's going to happen, say, a year or 2 years from now.
Okay. Now, how well was it attended?
Hard to say, maybe about 50 people.
50? Okay. Sounds good.
Great food.
Was it Adams, or actually it was probably the Dutchman?
Yeah,
right? It was.
It was
a Dutchman.
Very good.
Okay, great. All right, any questions for Mr. Osaki? Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'm not sure if it's Mr. Osaki, but bringing up that development reminded me of the options that we talked about with 191st, mm-hmm. and kind of cut that through. It was refreshing my memory. What was our timeline for that?
Yeah, we're looking at bringing that back. Gene, was that mid-October?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because we had Blueberry that we're bringing back, and the first part of that was to have that traffic study done.
Okay.
And then the other one was we're going to bring forward 191st to talk about the three different configurations.
Yeah.
Is it on the extended agenda yet?
I don't see it popping off the page on me here, but I know we talked about it. I've got it queued up, so.
Okay.
I'm just looking forward. That reminded me, and I'm looking forward to.
Yes.
We're going to need to do something sooner than later. So.
Absolutely.
Thanks.
Yeah, so we'll make certain that 191st is on the extended agenda, and also Blueberry, because they are very high up on priority. And right now, we're working through the budget proposal.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there are always things that kind of shift things around for just a couple weeks. So, yeah.
No problem. Totally understand. Appreciate the staff and everything you do.
Anything further from Mr. Osaki? Okay, and as part of the subdivisions that are going in up there, we are completing sort of a road network that will go over to Chain Lake from that 191st north of Rainier. The way the plats are going in, there's a connection all the way through.
There'll be a way you can get through,
right.
But I don't. You'll have to go through some residential neighborhoods to get there.
Right, okay. Okay.
May raise the issue of passing traffic.
Okay, so we'll go through some of that as part of that conversation.
Sure.
All right, thank you. Chief.
Last Thursday was a big day for the police department. First of all, I went over to Leavenworth to the Wasatch Legislative Committee, had a meeting planned as an agenda for the 2017 legislative session. And the main thing that we approved to go forward that pertains to the city of Monroe is trying to get the liquor taxes returned back to the cities as they once were. It's a high priority for the Police Chiefs and Sheriff's Association. And then at 6:21 in the evening, there was a two-vehicle fatality accident on Chain Lake Road in front of the church. The causing driver was deceased at the scene. And about 10:30 at night, we had a semi with two trailers in town here, decided to make a new truck route. In the meantime, he took out an electric pole, which cut out the electric power from Fremont South out into the county. Mm-hmm. And that lasted for 4 hours or something like that. So that was all that happened on Thursday. I might add that it was a full moon that night. So I also attended the homeless advocacy group meeting today, and the county was there with their team that they have that goes out and visits the homeless camps and tries to offer them assistance. They had two social workers with them. I might add that they said that they have 600 homeless people in South Snohomish County. And I know they've counted 300 in North Snohomish County, and I forget the number that they have out east. In 1 year, this group has assisted 70 individuals with help. 46 of those have gone through the system completely and come out as protective members of society. Which is, you may think that's, doggone, that's only like, I would guess, about 65% success rate. The national success rate is like 15%. Mm-hmm. So they're doing good. They're doing great, in fact, but it takes an awful lot of time, effort, and money. These individuals are putting 100% of their time in, dealing with this small amount of individuals, trying to get them, I guess you'd say, rehabilitated back into society. So I will say that the Monroe Police Department and the City of Monroe is working together to put some type of program together very similar to this, hopefully. And we will maybe give you more idea what that would be in a couple months or so. And Saturday, there was a football game, that is correct. And this year you noticed that I was rather silent, not my usual braggadocious self prior to the game, because I knew that the Red Menace would load up with their newfound friends from District 7, which they did. And almost worked out well for them. The score was 14-12, but the Monroe Police Department prevailed once again. That's 3 years in a row.
And that's the reason why Chief Silva left? Is that why?
I really have to say that, I always call them Red Menace, but we love those guys. I mean, we work well together with them. They're great people. We can count on them, and they can count on us. This year, I will tell you, that was probably the best played football game of 3 years. There were some talented athletes out there. There were some exhausted athletes after the game, but there was a lot of talent out there, and there were no major injuries. There was a lot of ibuprofen and some other prescription medication afterwards so that they could go to work again. But they really enjoyed it. It was for a great cause. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Chief. Questions? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Congratulations on the game. That was fun to watch. I had a question about something on Friday night. I saw the SWAT truck heading out with the lights flashing.
On Friday night?
On Friday night. Last Friday. Okay. I was just curious. So, you can talk about it later.
Was it R, small?
It was the big truck that... But the lights were going on, so I was kind of surprised.
Yeah,
I suppose somebody just taken them out for a job.
I know they're doing their annual week-long training, the team is.
Oh.
But I don't know why they would have the lights going, and I know that they were leaving, they were to be there starting on Sunday, so...
Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know if there was something.
I would certainly tell you.
Okay.
An idea.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
So you couldn't take any of that football luck into
Sunday.
That Saturday's game that also was played at the same time?
Or? You know, I would say that we do have an offense where the other team doesn't. That was pretty apparent on Sunday.
All right. Anything further for the chief? All right, Mr. Feilberg.
Nothing tonight.
Nothing tonight. We are doing work on Shane Lake Road.
Yes.
We had a grind that had been scheduled for work on Shane Lake Road, and the resurfacing is occurring tomorrow. Is that correct? Okay. And that's something that we have as part of a contract with the county, and the number just came up to do that. All right. Are there any other? I know that we had something going on. Is it Elizabeth or?
Elizabeth, Columbia, okay. Crown of the Lord.
Yep.
163rd and 181st.
Okay. And do we have dates on all of those yet? Okay. We're expecting all those to occur before the rain sets in.
We hope.
Okay. So just letting council know that we may have a number of other road closures, just like on Shane Lake, where we're doing a grind down and then a repaving. And just be aware of that. We're trying to get all that work done before the rainy season. And again, this is part of the contract that we have with the county rather than us hiring a contractor. Councilmember Gamble.
But Woods Creek is pretty much done, right? All of the work on the sidewalk and stuff?
They got the landscaping stuff and the fence put in.
But will they require shutting the street down when they're doing that activity?
The one lane will still be closed.
We have
arrangements with them that when they are paving Chamberlain Road, they'll not be in the street.
Perfect. That's what I needed to know.
Yeah.
So when we get those comments, we can... Okay. Perfect. Yep. Thank you.
All right. Gene.
The only thing I have to report is tomorrow, Brad and I are attending a 522 meeting that's being put on by WashDOT, and the county will be there. We have the county building. It's a prep meeting for October 5th, and Monroe this week will highlight those dates for everybody.
Thanks. Following this meeting, there will be another meeting that will be a more technical meeting in the beginning of October, and that will be in Shoreline, I think, is what they're looking at. And then we're expecting a report sometime around Thanksgiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Brazel? All right. For me, just a couple of quick items. Snohomish County Cities, I agree with all the comments already stated. It was a really great event. We also had the employee luncheon on Thursday. Gene was helpful enough to put together a list of all the things that we've done this year, and I know that it's not an all-inclusive list, but staff has been very busy getting a lot of projects done and a lot of programmatic things done here in town, and they, you know, looking out at our directors and the chief, please thank them for us again. We succeed because of the work that they do, and I'm thankful to have everybody. We're blessed to have them here, so thank you. Saturday, I laughed like a school kid as I watched cars fly through the air. We had the Red Bull Rallycross, the Global Rallycross here in Monroe. NBC was there, and at 10 o'clock on, or 10:30 on NBC on Sunday, Monroe was there for an hour and a half with these Subaru STIs, Volkswagens, Hondas, and the Ford Fiesta, all of them all-wheel drive, shooting around a track that was part asphalt and part wet dirt and gravel, and a jump that I'm told from the beginning of ramp to the end of ramp was 120 feet. It was an absolute joy watching these cars start from zero. You know, they were completely stopped, unlike the NASCARs that we get that are going around in circles and then, you know, the green flag, and then they go from a moving start. They started from zero, launched, and it was fun watching these cars cruise around, and it was really cool seeing us on NBC. So I am really hopeful that we can get that here again. The last time they did one of these in the Pacific Pacific Northwest, in the state of Washington, rather, was at Dirtfish down near Issaquah or North Bend, and I'm understanding that we're better set up here because we are an actual racetrack here. So I'm really hopeful that they'll come back here again next year. And that was a two-day event that started on Friday at noon and ended Saturday evening. Yeah, we had a very busy week and weekend. I think that's all that I have to report for right now. Any questions for me? All right, let's go ahead and go through the agenda and the extended agenda, and then we have an executive session.
Draft agenda for September 27th, 2016. We have a proclamation in our school district building, 100-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. The consent agenda under new business, still tentative, the garbage contract. And final action, Christy Cow will be back, senior planner, to talk about Eaglemont Phase 3, final plat, and land sale update. Any additions or deletions? Okay. Long range agenda, I will track down 191st and Blueberry Pork Chop. Any additions or deletions? Are people going to be gone?
And some things that we kind of need to get an idea on, so if you can put it on your radars, is we're going to need to know if council wants to have a council meeting on the night of the general election. Councilmember Camp?
I'd like to cancel the general election. Council meeting?
That's November 8th?
Yes. I think it's been standard that we've been close on elections, I know, normally for the
second time. Okay, so is that a motion?
I will make a motion to cancel the meeting.
Okay, and there's a second from Councilmember Hanford.
We do that. Yeah.
All right, discussion on the motion, Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I think the only reason I get it is when there's people running.
Right, but since this is a presidential election year, I can guarantee I won't be here.
Okay.
Roger.
All right, so there's a motion and a second to cancel the, I believe it's the November 8th meeting. All right, any other discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 7-0. There will not be a council meeting on November 8th. And that was important because we've got things we need to schedule. The other dates that we're looking at, potentially, first the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. My preference would be to have a meeting the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, but to cancel the meeting the Tuesday after Thanksgiving simply because we have a short week for staff to prepare things. You've only got Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to prepare the packets for Tuesday. The following week, so that's something to think about later. And then we're also looking at the end of the year, we're only doing this because we've got different things we're looking at bringing through, and it just helps knowing. We don't need that information tonight, but I do have a bunch of lights. So, Councilmember, I'm just going to start up top.
Mr. Mayor, may I make a point of clarification on your discussion?
Yes.
So you're aware, the 22nd is the fourth meeting of the month, and therefore there is no meeting on November 29th.
Never mind then.
So if you did contemplate canceling the 22nd, the next regular meeting would be the first meeting in December.
Okay. Thank you. And it was the 29th that I was looking at canceling.
That is correct.
So we don't need to worry about doing that. So we're good.
That is correct.
Okay. So we're good. All right, Councilmember Gamble?
Well, just because we're talking November dates, I will not be here November 1st.
Okay.
I'll be in the woods.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Thank you. I think that we normally cancel the week of Thanksgiving, the 22nd. I'm not going to make a motion now, but you're asking for ideas, and so that's my thought. And then December... that the 27th and the 3rd.
Yep.
And then depending on our workload, we've also canceled that, like the 20th. There's been some Decembers where we've only needed to have two meetings because the budget's done, everything else is done. So because of the holiday season and all that, I would. That's my thought.
But. Okay. So we'll keep in mind the potential of canceling the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
I concur with you. Likely to cancel the meeting between Christmas and New Year's, and the meeting after New Year's. We'll recognize that there might be an interest in canceling the meeting before that. But so we'll go ahead and plan accordingly with those three dates and potentially four in mind. All right. Thank you. All right. Is there anything further on the extended agenda? Okay. All right. We do have a need for an executive session this evening. The executive session is pursuant to RCW 42.30.110(1), little I, and it's for approximately 10 minutes with no action afterward except to adjourn the meeting this evening. So we're going to go into exec session now for 10 minutes. Are you on? Thank you. All right, we're back in session. Councilmember Camp.
I move that we adjourn.
Second. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? We are adjourned. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. The vote was 7-0.